Okay, so I did mention that there wasn't any kind of set schedule, but I am going to be posting pretty often for the next couple of days because I know my last episode came out a little over a month ago, and I think that's okay. You know, I'm not worried about it. Trust me, I'm not. But I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this one. I'm gonna go ahead and jump right in. Okay, so I was talking on the phone with my aunt yesterday, and she told me that everyone is afraid of something. And if you know me, you know that I don't actually believe in fear. I don't believe that I have the spirit of it in me, and I don't actually think that I'm supposed to be communicating to myself that I'm afraid, whether that be saying it, whether that be expressing it, or letting it dictate my actions. Overall, I just don't associate with it. With that said, all of it didn't stop me from pondering the statement. So scientifically, fear is afraid of itself. And after I made sure that I established that with myself, I began to just start listing out certain qualities of myself to see if I could pick apart and find an area or specific thing that I would be quote unquote afraid of. So I observed what's sacred and close to me. So I went down the list of people in my life, but then I realized that kind of seemed too surface level. Like, I don't think my fears would have to do with them or have to do with certain elements in my life. I think that's something that happens on a deeper, more subconscious, you know, nitty-gritty type of level. It's like, what would I be afraid of? And I feel like I'd have to connect to something that I feel like if I lost this part of myself, which again, I don't believe that I could actually lose parts of myself, but just bear with me. What would it be? And so I was like, okay, well, I really like to write. I'm really passionate about that. And I also posted something yesterday on Instagram Threads that says, "You're playing a losing game, trying to see the beauty in the world while talking about how ugly it is." Let me repeat that since I butchered it the first time. "You're playing a losing game, trying to see the beauty in the world while talking about how ugly it is." And that just came from me bouncing ideas off the wall about how love is telling its own story. And you can hear it if you decide to listen and if you decide to block out the noise of the world, block out the noise of social media, just block out certain noise. You can tune in, like a radio or antenna, tune into the story that love is telling, right? Which also reminded me of a song that I was listening to yesterday called This Love. It was in a playlist that my friend had sent to me. As you can see, themes in love, themes in writing, all that kind of stuff. Themes of storytelling. With all of that said, if I am afraid of something, I want to be able to talk about it and not be wary of it, because I think having a conversation about anything, regardless of how uncomfortable it is going to get you past that. And you don't have to feel like you have to skirt around certain words or skirt around certain sentences and phrases because, I don't know, this fear of bringing it to life or what it might do if you speak about it. So if I am, I want to be able to talk about it. And that's why we're having this episode, because let's get into it. I don't know. Tear it apart. Tear the conversation apart. See what we got. It dawned on me, hypothetically, emphasis on hypothetically. Let me backtrack. Hypothetically, I would be afraid that someone else's version of the story of life is more accurate than my own. Sometimes you hear someone, like a family member or a friend or really great renowned life coach said, and you associate their advice or whatever it is that they have to say about life to your situation. And then even if you wanted or hoped in your heart for the situation to be different, somehow their words just ring and they stick with you more than what you would want it to be. And I'm a very hopeful person, a very optimistic person, and I don't like to settle in certain stories just because, oh, as a society, you know, it's been collectively agreed upon that certain things are certain ways, and that's all it is. Like, it's set in stone. If this is a situation you're in, it's set in stone. And I say this because just because someone else's situation played out the way it played out doesn't mean that mine is the exact same way. And I like to put an emphasis on this because I believe that, you know, my story is my own and it is being told uniquely by me. That's what makes the story unique. I do believe that the power everyone has right here and right now is to tell their own story. This is something that I've talked about in my book. And so I don't want to just tell my story the way that everyone else is telling their story. And it just is deprived of hope and life. It's just not, it's to me, it's a form of settling, and it just doesn't sound good. And it's not big enough or exciting enough for me. Sometimes I think to myself when I'm going over a situation I've been in, I stray away from certain stereotypical voices that, and what I mean by voices is I mean like statements. Like when you say a certain statement about your situation, and you know what I'm talking about, that people just will say something collectively like, oh yeah, if you run into a person like that, you're definitely going to do this X, Y, Z. If I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at my story and I'm looking at my situation, I want to make sure that it sounds like Hanaya. You know, I want to make sure that it sounds like something I would say, something I would go along with, something that I would throw out there and give the chance to make itself clear to me instead of settling in a certain way of speaking about how my life is going, because I do understand that my perspective is in my own hands. I do understand that my perspective is fueled, perpetuated by me, not another person, even though sometimes it can just be really uncomfortable and it can feel like, what if they're right? What if what people are saying about this is right, and now I have to apply it to my situation? And it just feels like it makes certain situations out to be a dead zone. Like there's nothing you can do with it. You can't work with it. It just is what it is, supposed to be quote unquote realistic or reality. When again, I believe that reality is just your perspective. So, oh my gosh, someone else is telling my story just because everyone has decided that, yeah, you know, this defines that situation. You don't know though. You really don't know though. And you can't say that for sure. That would be my fear. And the reason I say this is because sometimes people will say, and it's in the form of advice, because they think that they're really helping you. And I'm a sucker for advice. I give it all the time. You know, whether it's good or not, you literally have to be my friend in order to find that out. Or ask my friends yourself. But I'm a sucker for advice. It's like, oh, is the advice that this person is giving supposed to be advice I'm supposed to take, even though the situation is just uniquely me? And I believe that what makes the situation uniquely me is because I'm involved in it. You know, people give advice based off of what they've heard in combination with the situations they've been in. And then you kind of compare the two to see how accurate what other people are saying about this same situation is to your own. And then you feel as if you have a valid enough voice to give advice on that situation, right? But I really, to me, think that the situation might look identical on the outside, but do you want to know what's different? Hanaya is involved in it. Yeah. Then I started to get into it and I was like, you know what? It really wouldn't make me afraid so much as it would just piss me off. Like, why am I alive? And why am I here, able to have my own unexplainable experiences only for someone else's, or even what is considered the collective experience would be more valid than mine? Like, that would just piss me off, like, if that were true. It just confirms my whole thing of like, no, I'm not afraid of anything. It would just really make me, it would just piss me off. Anyways. It's kind of natural, you know, for someone to say something about a situation or a social construct, and it can cause a person, you know, to be thrown for a loop and kind of make you question your entire relationship. It's a real thing. And me personally, I like to take it slow with myself. It's one thing that I realize that I can appreciate about just breathing, because it helps to reduce anxiety revolving a situation, because you're breathing slower and deeper. And that counter in speed is beneficial for many reasons, but mainly because you're ultimately always in control, right? Like your anxiety, it kind of makes you feel like you're moving a million miles per hour, and it literally feels like your thoughts are out of your control, as if you're chasing after them, as if you're really chasing after your thoughts. And I really don't think that that's how it is. I really don't think that your thoughts control you. You can only convince yourself of it or believe that that's what the reality is. Like, I'm trying to chase after my thoughts. I'm trying to catch up to them. You know what I'm saying? They're causing me to move this fast, and I have to put so much work in mentally. But like I said, the counter in that speed is beneficial because it brings that control back to you. When you are breathing and you're breathing deep and you're breathing slow and you're breathing intentionally and you're calming yourself down, you lower that speed that is kind of happening in your mind. And now there's balance brought back to your body, brought back to your center, brought back to your powerhouse. And you know, anxiety requires your mental energy to remain focused on it because your mind is trying to find the source of the anxiety and it's also trying to find a solution at the same time and whatever else goes on in that situation. And spoiler alert, the source of your anxiety is you. And I don't think that the solution is in the mind. It's in action, it's in presence, it's in your breath. And then the solution kind of becomes simple. Your solutions aren't meant to validate the voice of fear. And as I've said in my book, the mind is not the judge, jury, and the executioner. And so the reason why I know I'm connecting this to the conversation of fear and just this idea of like, oh, is what this person's advice is, does this apply to my situation? Even though I literally would not want it to be, because how can we be so sure? How can we be so absolutely 100% sure that this is what the situation is unless you kind of take a step back, slow yourself down, figure out what you want to do, and kind of approach it in a more logical way than it almost feels like defeat sometimes listening to certain advice. That's at least in my opinion. Because again, there are so many elements and there are so many things that say you can change the situation. The situation can unveil itself to you. And again, I like to give myself and my presence and who I am more credit in that, like I said, on the outside, it might seem like my situation is similar to another person who's giving advice about it, but that doesn't ultimately make it the exact same, where I have to respond the same way, or I have to just come to this conclusion, even though you, as in your mind, is just trying to fill in the gaps and make it make sense. That's why I try kind of thoughts that are running through my mind that are trying to be the judge, jury, and executioner of an entire situation that I can't say for sure I know is what it is. I relax and I say bye. Because my mind definitely isn't all that, and it definitely doesn't bang the gavel. My heart does, because I'm a believer that love is what manifests itself. It's what gets the final say, not this kind of advice that feeds into defeatism or that just tries to conform your situation and make it unoriginal. Like, I think maybe that's the word I'm looking for. It would piss me off if I let my experiences become unoriginal because I'm coming into agreement with what other people are saying about similar situations. And this conversation might have been a little vague. I just right now can't off the bat give you a proper example, but I think I've made it clear. Overall, what I'm trying to say is that I try. You know what? I'm not going to give advice right now. This is advice for Hanaya. Hanaya, when you keep moving forward in your life, be as in your heart. Let your heart be the executioner of your situation and lead via your heart and not in response to your mind producing anxiety surrounding a situation because you've heard from other places or from other people or from other sources that the situation that you're in, to make these definite conclusions about what you need to do and how you need to respond and how you need to move when it kind of counters what you would want it to be or what you would at least be hopeful enough and open to feel out and experience, because your life is yours. And I know you aren't a fan of unoriginal experiences. Keep being as patient as you can. Keep being as open as you can, because sometimes it's uncomfortable trying to see the situation differently. But when your heart takes the lead, love takes the lead, optimist optimism takes the lead, as well as reminding yourself that everything is happening for you. The situation can become a little bit different, and it can integrate and be worked into the story you're telling yourself about your life way more than if you just said, than if you just chalked it up to being something that just seems kind of dull and just seems kind of like a number, a statistic. I like this. I like having these conversations. This is episode 4. I gotta figure out what the title of this one is going to be, but I liked it. I hope you liked it too.